Guys, again, a privilege to be here. We sneak in here every once in a while when don't have a meeting, and we sit over there somewhere every once in a while. But it's been a little bit since we've been here, but it's always good to be back here and be with your church family. And the pastor been a good friend of ours for a long time, and we appreciate his ministry. And I want to tell you something. My wife and I travel all over the country, and we go to a lot of churches. And the church that your pastor had in Pennsylvania, I think, was it was so good. It was exactly how I would do things. And your pastor, I guess we think a little bit alike. But when I found out that he was coming here, I was really excited for you guys because you're getting a good man, a good guy. And he has a burden to see people get grounded in the faith, children all the way up. And so you are in good hands here. And I thank God so much for him, his family, and really everything that they do for the cause of Jesus Christ. So God bless you, dear brother. I want to share a little bit with you what I'm doing right now as a Bema representative. Again, as your pastor was saying, my wife and I were missionaries in Scotland for 20 years. And I can't even begin to tell you how devastated we were. We just can't explain it, how devastated we were when we had to come off the field. We loved Scotland, loved everything about Scotland. We started three churches over in Scotland. God was blessing us in a great way. And to have to come off the mission field was, it took us a long time to get over that. And we still have troubles every once in a while, to be honest with you. But as your pastor said, God opens other doors. And so I'm helping our mission board and all the missionaries that are part of the Bema family. We try to do our very best to help them out. Again, my name is Barry, and this is my wife, Denise. And Bema is a mission board down in Columbus, Ohio. We have 133 missionaries in 24 countries. Most of Bema's missionaries are national pastors, which means a missionary perhaps goes to Haiti, and he leads people to the Lord, and some of the young guys decide to be pastors, and they train them up and help them get churches, and that's referred to as a national pastor. And so most of Bema's missionaries are national pastors. A couple things: we do not take a percentage of a missionary support at Bema. Most mission boards take anywhere from 10 to 20% of a missionary support that they raise. In order to help the mission board function. We don't do that, and our office is just simply funded by donations from people just like you, and that's how our mission board works. As we started this, we didn't know exactly what God was doing, to be honest with you, and had no idea what direction God was going to take us. And it actually started with this little man. His name is Ilsant Dupri. He's a missionary in Haiti. And we had a huge Bema conference in October, I believe it was 2017. And my wife and I are still trying to figure out, well, how's God going to do this? How's God going to help us raise money and so forth? And who are we going to help? And I got done speaking at the conference, and this gentleman came up to me, doesn't speak any English whatsoever, and he tries his best. And I just can't understand him. He has broken English. And I was frustrated, he was frustrated, and tears were streaming down his eyes because he had a burden on his heart. And I actually found another gentleman that was in Haiti that also spoke English, and I had him translate for me. And this little man said that he had a Christian school, and there was a bad earthquake in Haiti, I believe it was 2012. And it broke, busted up the roof on their Christian school. And for 5 years, they had school in this building without a roof. Can you imagine that? I taught school for 7 years. That's hard enough. I can't imagine not having a roof over your building. And so this is what was basically left with the roof down there. And after he told me that story, God just kind of opened the door for us and just kind of showed us what direction that we needed to go. You see, this little guy, he doesn't speak any English. And so he can't call your pastor and say, oh, hey, pastor, I need help with this roof. Can you send me some money? Or he can't come here and speak. He doesn't speak English. And so we are trying to help out gentlemen like this, these missionaries, that really have a hard time raising money or just can't come back here for, financially and so forth. Anyway, in 2 months, we raised the money for him, and we put a roof on his building. And that's exactly what we have been doing for these last 3.5 years. This is Hani Deco. He's a missionary in Lebanon. I'm just sharing with you some projects that I'm working on right now. That's an old picture of him and his family. In Lebanon, they have a large group of Syrian refugees that come through Lebanon, through Beirut, where Hani is located. And a lot of these people, again, are just wandering around since the war has taken place in their country. And so what is happening, they come to Hani's church. Hani feeds them. He has started a Christian school. A lot of these kids have been wandering around the country for like 3 years. And some of them, Hani told me, are as old as 10 years old, have never been to school before. And Hani has a burden to reach and educate these young students. So they've started a school for them. In fact, it's opening up again after this COVID crisis tomorrow. And if you would pray for them as they minister to the people of Syria and these little children, it would be greatly appreciated. And so, again, Hani is doing his best to try to feed all these people. I raised about $6,000 for him in the beginning of January. Hani tries to feed the kids when they come in the morning and lunchtime, and also to help out their families. And so we're doing our very best to help out Hani at this time. And this is the church that he has there in Beirut. And again, he's doing a good work there. This is another gentleman that is from Haiti. And his name is Jean-Marc Desiree. He has a Christian school of about 700 children. And he has a church. He has a clinic. He has so much. These guys just work so hard. They really do. Just amazing everything that they try to do. I don't know if you can see on this picture, but do you see their desk? Their desk are about a 2x12, and they sit on wood blocks. There's a couple of them here. Might be a little bit better. And so what I'm doing, I'm trying to get all these students' desks, all 700 of them. I'm about halfway there raising money for that. Jean-Marc is also building a new Christian school. It costs about $12,000 per classroom, and he's currently building 4 of them right now. And so be in prayer for him as Jean-Marc tries to get this done. This is Branko and Rada Thihovic, and they are in Serbia. And we've been helping them with their Christian camp, and just got done helping them remodel these dorms that are located on the facility there. We made them all handicap accessible, and so we're just doing our very best to help out this family as well. And this is pictures from their camp last year, and it was the largest camp that they ever had. And but they run camps all through the summer, just trying to help kids out. I'm also raising money to try to help them get bunk beds as well. And so that's just some of the things we're raising money for. You know Calvin Mindy Hauser, and trying to help out Calvin as well. This is the building that he bought there in Manila. And we sent them about $1,000 just a couple weeks ago. They got a $16,000 tax bill. I don't know if you read that or he shared that with you. And we're just trying to help them raise money for that. And governments always come up with new taxes, don't they? And so this is the building. He still has a little bit of this to do. As you can see, they're remodeling the inside of that. And they got it pretty well done. This is Matias Mojica. He is in Bolivia. Pray for Bolivia. We had a hard time even getting him money. We have some missionaries that we have not been able to get them money for about 6 months because the banks are closed. And so we're just trying to do our very best to get them money for, just so that they can survive. But we've helped this dear brother put a roof on. This is the cafeteria at his camp. We put a roof on that. We fixed up some of the dorms and things along that line. Anyway, I just wanted to give you a brief summary of some of the things that I'm working on right now. And again, giving to BEMA. Again, our offices are located 4744 Winchester Pike, Columbus, Ohio. And you can find us online at BEMAmissions.org. And just hit the donate button and just say who your donation is for. And also, you can also send something, put it to the attention of the Matthew 28 Project. That is my fund. And what I do, I just, at least once a month, sometimes twice a month, we just distribute funds all over the world to those missionaries that need help. And what I usually do, I just write a letter and tell you where your donation went to. Now, in light of that, you have to take care of first things first. Okay? You have to take care of your pastors. You have to take care of your church. You have to take care of your own missionaries. And as your pastor said, a lot of them need raised in totals. You got to take care of your missionaries first before you even think giving to BEMA. But if you ever get money left over, I'll take it. Okay? Fair enough. And so that's basically what we are doing. So, again, I appreciate your prayers. And as we travel around, and again, thank you guys for everything that you have done for us already. Let's turn to 1 Chronicles. If I said 1 Chronicles, I meant 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I do not preach very long, and all of God's people said,
Amen.
I figured you guys were like that. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. A very familiar passage of Scripture, one we need to be reminded of. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much again for Jesus Christ and, Father, the work that was done on Calvary 2,000 years ago. And Father, we thank you for the plan of salvation that even a young child can understand it and come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And Father, we also pray for your people, God's people. And Father, we just do pray that you work in our hearts, work in our lives. Father, help us to be the Christians that you want us to be. And God, I just do pray this morning, Father, that your Holy Spirit will speak through me, your servant. And Father, again, may you challenge us to be the Christians, God, that you really want us to be. And Father, we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. 200 years ago, Scotland was the land that took the gospel out all over the world. Scotland. Some great men went out of the country. Robert Moffat from Africa. Probably the best known, David Livingston, also in Africa. Mary Slessor, the Dundee girl, to Africa. John Anderson to India. John G. Patton to the New Hebrides. Eric Liddell, Olympic champion, champion of the faith. Chariots of Fire, you've never seen that movie? You need to show it not only to yourselves, but to your children as well. A great, great man of God. The city that God called us to, Paisley, was the largest city in Scotland. It believed to be, at one time, the eighth richest city in the world. Weaving industry, including shawls. There were thread mills, textile mills. There were four shipyards, food manufacturing. There's great spiritual history in Paisley. And the town was filled with churches. Our town had more church buildings than any other city in Scotland. And Paisley's motto was, Lord, let Paisley flourish by the preaching of thy word. Beautiful church buildings, just like this one. This is Coates Memorial. Those of you ladies that, the thread company, Coates, Clark, They all came from Paisley. And this is the Coates family. This is called Coates Memorial. And they built it. This is a massive structure. This picture doesn't do this place justice. But at one time, it ran over 1,000 people. All these beautiful churches were in Paisley, there in Scotland. Many of them ran 500, 600, 700 people. Just beautiful buildings scattered all over the city there in Paisley. Massive structures that are still there, just like this. Beautiful old buildings. This one here is where President Reagan's maternal grandparents went to church. They're buried there out in that cemetery. There is very little to remind you of any of the spiritual history that they had. Little to remind you. In fact, right before we left Scotland, I was walking my dog right beside this church building, and a lot of the churches there are turning into apartments. And they were getting ready to make this church into, I believe it said, 12 different apartments in it. And it had this little writing on the bottom of the notice, and it says, "Come live where God used to live." Come live where God used to live. God, and I want you to listen, did not owe Scotland anything. Nothing. You say, what happened to Scotland? What happened to that great country that used to send the gospel out all over the world? The same thing is happening here. Amen. The same exact thing. I travel all over this country, and can I just say we're in serious trouble? Whether we want to admit it or not, we are going down the same train track as the country of Scotland. We're going the same path. We're going the same direction. Many of these churches that I showed you, pretty much all of them, are shut down today. You know what? The same thing is happening here. The reason why my wife and I had to come home from Scotland is we had 14 of our supporting churches closed down. 14. And we lost all that support. And as your pastor said, we came back. We were thinking that we were going to just come back for 4 or 5 months. Raise that support, go back, start another church in Scotland. But we kept on losing more money than what we gained. And I finally had to sit down and talk to my pastor, and he goes, what do you think is happening here? And I said, I really don't know. And he says, Barry, I'm sorry to tell you, but I think God's just closing the door for you to go back to Scotland. And the devastation. I couldn't believe it. We had 3 more churches closed down, lost their support. And we sat down together and said, man, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Listen, I'm not the only one this is happening to. There are many missionaries just like us. Are having to come off the field. In fact, this is one of the first times in our nation's history where we have more missionaries coming off the field than we have missionaries going on the field. Churches are closing down. Churches are dwindling in size. Mission budgets have to get cut. Missionaries are having to come off the field. You see, this is a serious problem. If you could travel with me every week, I could tell you what this church used to run. And when you would go with me, you would see where it is today. Majority of the churches that supported us ran between 250, 350 people on average. Today, almost every one of those, except for a handful, is under 100 people. Almost every single one of them. We are struggling. But you know what? We still have a responsibility of getting this gospel out. The Great Commission is still found in the Bible. It is still there. And God expects us to get the job done. Amen. But we need to understand, we need to change the direction that we as churches are going today. We need to wake up. We need to get our hearts right with God. We need to get back to the fundamentals of our faith and be the Christians that God asks us to be. And we take a look at this scripture here, verse 14. I want you to pay attention to it. It says, if. A small little word, isn't it? But it means the following. Either they will listen or they will not. It's an if. They might listen or they may not. And he says here, if my people, which are called by my name, shall do the following. Humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their, say that with me. What's the next word there? Wicked ways. Many times we take a look at our life, we say, oh, what I'm doing is not so bad. What I'm doing, you know, the brother or sister over there, they're doing a whole lot worse than me. How's God view our sin? He calls it wicked.
Amen.
Wicked. Turn from their wicked ways, and notice what it says here, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. And notice the last phrase. Is there ever a time, listen, in this country that we need the following? And will do what? Heal their land. Does our land need healed? Oh, absolutely. Look at the mess we are in today, people. Look at our country. Look at the things that are taking place. Do you think all these things have taken place by accident? None of it's by accident. We, as a country, have gotten a long way from our God. Amen. Just like Scotland got away from their God, just like the nation of Israel time and time again got away from their God, we have gotten away from our God, and it is not the bunch in Washington, D.C. It is not the politicians. It is not all those individuals. It says here, if who? My people. You and me. It's my people. We read this verse all the time, but have you ever taken a look at rest of it, rest of the chapter? Go down to verse 19. He says, but if ye turn away, you don't listen, and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you. And aren't you thankful that we have the Word of God to govern our lives by?
Amen.
Amen. We have His Word right here to help us through this life. He's given us abundant life through Jesus Christ. But He says here, but if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them. Notice this. Then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given them. And this house. Pay attention. And this house, which I have sanctified for my name, will I cast out of my sight. It will make it to be a proverb and byword among all the nations. And this house, which is high, shall be an astonishment to everyone that passes by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done this unto this land and unto this house? There are churches that I come back to, and we give a report, and I see the church, and I remember what it used to run, and I remember how vibrant, and I remember how excited the church was. And to see it in the condition that it is in today, I just say these words. What happened here? What happened here? We were in a church down in the Dayton area that ran 700 people. And they invited us to come back. It is 5 till 10. The service starts at 10. Nobody's there. I'm like checking my calendar. I mean, are we on a Sunday here? Check the time. 2 minutes till. One guy comes, opens up the door. And I said, you guys having services today? Oh, you go, oh yeah. In a church that ran 700 people, the previous time I was there, I preached to two rows of people. That was all that was left of a church of 700 people. You see, he doesn't owe us anything. Do you understand that? He doesn't owe us a thing. We need to get serious about our relationship to God. We need to get serious again, getting into God's Word, studying it, memorizing it, allowing the Holy Spirit of God to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. You know why? This lost world isn't impressed with us. But they're impressed with Jesus Christ. We need to get back to the things of God. Verse 22, and it shall be answered because they forsook the Lord of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. And notice here, and laid hold on other gods. Got away from him, didn't they? Yes. And worshiped them, served them. And therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. The new missionaries that come through your doors, 66% of them will not reach their fields. 66% will not reach their mission field. That's staggering, isn't it? Money, number one issue. Money. Money. I have a couple of quotes. Abraham Lincoln. He says, we have been recipients of choicest bounties of the heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. I want you to notice. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten His gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And I love this next part. And vainly imagine in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom or virtue of our own. Isn't that great? Alexander Solzhenitsyn said, more than half a century ago, while I was still a child, I recall hearing a number of older people offer the following explanation for the great disasters that have befallen Russia. Men have forgotten God. That's why all this has happened. But if I were asked today to formulate as concisely as possible the main cause of the ruinous revolution that swallowed up some 60 million of our people, I could not put it more accurately than to repeat, men have forgotten God. That's why all this has happened. Alexander Solzhenitsyn at the Templeton Address in 1983. Forgotten God. How about you today, Christian? Where are you at? Are you being the Christian that you should be? Are you getting into God's Word, studying it how you should? Relying the Holy Spirit of God to convict you of the sin that is in your heart and in your life? Are you asking Him to forgive you the sin that is in your life, forsake it, become more like Jesus Christ every single day? Staggering statistic I ran across. Less than 1% of the people in our Bible-believing fundamental churches, less than 1%, are in God's Word on a daily basis. When we are not in God's Word, we're not being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, and we're getting further and further away from the things of God. And we here in America are on that runaway train down a track that you do not want to go. And can I say, living in Scotland for 20 years, you do not want to go down that path. But you're already on it. We need to wake up, get serious about our relationship to Jesus Christ, and be the Christians that we need to be.
Amen.
If. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. And Father, we just do pray, God, that you work in the hearts of believers today. And Father, we just do pray that your hand be upon rest of the service today. Father, help us to get serious about our relationship to you. Father, help every single one of us, Father, to live for you how we should. And Father, we are a nation that has gotten away from you. Father, we are a long way from where we used to be. And Father, I just do pray, God, you help us again, Father, to do the things that are necessary, Father, that you will heal our land. Father, we're in serious trouble here in this country. And Father, we may be election away from losing everything. And God, I just do pray, God, that you help us, Father, to seek your face. Do the things that are necessary, God, that you'll heal this land once again. Father, work in all of our hearts, all of our lives. And Father, we ask this in your Son's precious name. Amen.